right? Rechaim b'Pesach. Likewise, the miracle of Pesach also was primarily because of the women. Shehoyim mishubados the pharaoh of Mitzrayim, right? The women were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt, right? And therefore what? Well, wait a minute, did I skip something? My eye ran down a couple of lines. Okay. Yeah, but Pesach, shebizchus tzidkoniyo, shebizchus ado nigalu. We have a statement which says that in the merit of the righteous women who were in Egypt, this is why the people of Israel were redeemed. And of course, you may remember a few weeks ago when we read the last parsha of the Sefer Shmos, the Kudah. Mm-hmm. There we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel to make the basin out of the copper that the women brought in with their mirrors. They had copper mirrors, okay? And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to receive them at first because he said, look, a mirror is something which is connected with vanity, okay? And vanity is hostage. It's not fit, you know, to have a holy basin to be used by the Kohanim in order to wash themselves in preparation for performing the divine service, the Avot. Okay? So the Rebbeinu Shalom said to Moshe,
Yahweh says, he said, look, these women, they encouraged their menfolk in Egypt to be able to withstand the rigors of the slavery. They would go out, they would bring them hot food at lunchtime in order to give them a little spirit. They would look in their mirrors and admire themselves, how beautiful they were, and they would say to their husband, look how beautiful I am for you, and so on. And as a result, they had relations, right? And from this were born the Jewish people, so that we would not have so many Jews who eventually were able to leave Egypt if it weren't for the fact and for the virtue of these Russian Sephardim, the righteous women. So, that being the case, we see that both, that the miracle of Hanukkah, right, the miracle of Purim and the miracle of Pesach are all al yodam, because of the women, the role that they played among the Jewish people. Okay? So the kosher, he says, all right, so now he says, all right, good. Now there's a difficulty. Why? The Russian are opting when it says, because they too, Moshe, it would seem, what? The implication would be that they played a secondary role. And here, the Rashbam points out what? That they played a primary role. Okay? Well, the Pharaoh show, according to the Rambam, to the Rashbam, then if that's the case, he should have said, without saying, Sha'afim. In other words, leave out the word to. Not that they do, but that they were involved in the work.
Right?
So,
Lahach
Yirali, so therefore it says,
Hashim, Hashim, Hashim.
Sha'afein ho yu, Hashim, Hashim. So now he comes and he says, maybe he says, the reason why he says they too, reference to Purim, the song, is that maybe there was a lot of doubtful for a moment. The Hashmirullah wrote that, the grace who destroyed them actually applied to women or not. The Chen to Pesach, likewise in Pesach, the women who were those who followed in Mitzrayim, the women were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt, but if you remember, the women said that were supposed to be thrown into the juvenile, the male church, not the female. So that maybe you could. The Chen to Chamisha, right? Likewise in Chavakah, you can't already saw the old
in Yehem. Okay.
So it says in Chavakah 2, the Zerah also was involved with that. So, at any rate, nevertheless, as we see, the Rashbam played a very important part in the thinking of the Tosfos, okay? All right. Skip a little bit over here because I'm going to get into an argument. Well, maybe I won't skip, okay, because this brings in a question about double dots. Okay, so I'm not skipping. Okay. The reference to the eating of dots, okay? Yesh Masha. Somebody asked a kasha, okay? You heard it, Masha, Masha. You ask kasha, okay? Someone asked kasha. Over me, attention. Why do I need a certain comparison that we find in the Gemara itself, where it says, the whole sheyesh go, the Baal Seichel Chomeh, sheyesh go, the group of Chomeh. He says, why, somebody makes a comparison in the Gemara itself, and it says, whoever is required not to eat Chomeh for Pesach, therefore has the obligation to eat Matzah, okay? You understand what the question is? No, people would say that, for example, that women did not have an obligation, only the men had the obligation to eat chametz, then we might say, but obviously, men and women, everybody has the obligation not to eat chametz during Pesach. So therefore, it means that everybody who is commanded not to eat Pesach, not to eat matzah, not to eat chametz, is commanded to eat
Not necessarily.
The answer is, in regard to your comment, we're talking about the same. The Seder night, it's an obligation for everybody, men, women, and children, right, to eat matzah. Right. It's an obligation. The rest of Pesach, if the person wants to eat matzah, he can eat matzah. He doesn't feel like eating matzah, he doesn't have to eat matzah. But of course, what he can do is to eat chametz.
Okay.
So we're talking about the Seder night, but it is a mitzvah's offer. Affirmative commandment to eat matzah. Alright. So typically, he might have learned this idea, Mitam Shehen Hayyubay Sanas. He could have said the reason why women have an obligation to eat matzah on Pesach is because they're also including the dirt. So the Yeshloma, so therefore Tosfos says, no, not quite. Because for this reason, would say then that the chiyuv, in other words, obligation, is only rabbinical. Pilat HaKeshot is the one for this comparison, which teaches us that it's biblical in the sense, you know, that if you cannot eat chametz the Seder night, then by the same token, you must eat chametz. Okay. Rabbeinu Yosef is Yerushalayim. Finally, the little Yerushalayim, okay. Tiret, he gave the following explanation. He said, the south of Gathe, the Nifter, and the Zeru Shodom. The test was, the Chagasuke is the first. He said, all right, but this already is not very pertinent what he's saying over there. It says, here, we cannot apply the Zeru Shodom that what? That Pesach occurs on the 15th of Nisan, and Sukkot occurs on the 15th of Tishrei, right? So there are certain laws, you know, that they have in common because of this, but this does not apply to Sukkot. Now, we're also going to do the next one, okay? So. All right. Okay. Pesach means this is the decision, okay? Pesach means that you give a decision once and for all, right? Okay. And this is how we observe Purim. And this is the source over here. It says, the Omer Aladis and Mithilo and Ogot, right? In other words, that when we say Shmoneh Esrei, right? and we come to Hodah, right, which is the bracha that begins with the words Modim Anachnu Lo. That's the official name. It's called Hodah, in other words, the blessing of Thanksgiving. Hodah. Okay? So, we have to say, we have to say Al Hadnissim when we say Shmanesra in the Hodah, in other words, in Modim, right? The Yesh She'en Omrim. And there are those who say that you don't have to say it. Needless to say, we don't follow those who say don't. We follow those who say do. Okay. Kishem Lefisha Omer Chachomim, right? Why did they say it? Because there's a Gemara in Brachos that says, Mechulam. No Yishav Adam Tzarechov, no beginning of the Shoinus, no beginning of the Brothers, okay. If you remember, the Shmona Esrei is divided into three groups of Brothers, okay? The first three groups, you know, in other words, Ovos, Gevuros, and Kedusha Hashem, right? So those are the first three, and they form one group of praise to God. Praise to God, the God of our fathers, right? Praise to God for the mighty acts that he performed. Praise to God because of his holiness, okay. So those are the Gimel Rishonim, the first three brachos, okay? Then we have the Gimel Achronos. All the Gimel Achronos. Gimel Achronos are, you say, also called officially Avoda, because we pray to God that the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash should be restored once more. And obviously, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, this was a blessing that dealt specifically with the Avodah, that God should be pleased to accept with favor, you know, the prayer, you know, the service that was being conducted in the Beis HaMikdash, okay? Our prayer, you know, is a substitute for that, right? So, and then, of course, Hodah, in other words, Modim Anachnu Lo, we thank God. And then the last one is called Birkas Kohanim, right? The blessing of the Kohanim, because what does it deal with primarily? It deals with the blessing of Shalom, of peace, okay? And of course we know that in the morning we have a minyan, so in the repetition of Shmoneh Esrei, we actually say, you know, Rochinu Avrocham Shemeshes, right? Blessings with the threefold blessing, Yibarech L'Hashem Yishmarech, etc., etc. And on Yom Tov we know that the Kohanim go up in Dukhan, and in Eretz Yisrael, in many areas, particularly in Yerushalayim, in areas that, you know, in that area over there, the Kohanim actually go up to Dukhan every single day. Yeah. Except on Tisha B'Av, they don't Dukhan. Out of mourning, okay? It's on the morning. But there's a certain time to Mincha that they do. Depends what time Mincha is. Okay. But if it's an early Mincha, then in that particular case, they may have their kashrut. Okay. And of course, you know, on a day like, let's say, Yom Tov, the Shabbos, they duchen not only the Shachris, they also duchen the Musaf as well. Okay? On Yom Kippur, they also duchen the Nirah. Okay? Yeah. And when we learned Gemara and Tainus, we learned that on fast days, they also duchen in the afternoon as well. Okay. So, what we're saying is then that in the first three brachas and in the last three brachas of the Shmona Esrei, we're not allowed to have private petition. That's what they mean by the Yishai.
The last three brachas?
Yeah. In Ritzei.
Oh, well, that's both bad.
Right. Ritzei or Modim or Sim Shalom. Okay.
Yeah, well, anything you want to add, you add.
Right. You have to add before. Exactly. Right. Okay. Right. He says, Ishtusmi, Snarishkeit, he says.
That's what that means.
Yeah,
Ishtusmi,
Snarishkeit. Ishtusmi, Snarishkeit, okay.
What?
Yeah. What does he say?
Nothing.
He says, it's Snarishkeit. What is he referring to as Snarishkeit? He doesn't mean the fact that they're not allowed to add, but he says, what this guy says, you know, that they're not allowed to add Al Hamisim to Hodor, this is not respect, he says.
Oh, I see, all right.
Understand?
Okay.
Like, for example, would this same guy also say that we don't say, for example, Yalla Niyobe? Right? It requires to say Yalla Niyobe. So therefore, he says, whoever came up with that idea, that's true. We have a chance to see, you know, a patient from everything of health. Right. Okay. Sha'arei haitamo, because this is reasoning, he says, well, hava evam mispalad loshen yochid. He says, this only applies to somebody who is davening only as an individual. Avo, ishvil ha'tzibur. Sorry, but when it's a matter of prayer in the congregation, in other words, public prayer, showing them that it's permitted. Okay? Abal Nira, but he says, it seems to be Shein Omrim Tam Acher, that maybe we shouldn't say on this and for a different reason. The Omrim Chachomim, that the sages said, the Chol Dobo Dahalibir Habo, Tiknu Behalabo, says something which is going to take place in the future. They said, all right, then you have to put it where it is something for the future. Right, whereas when you give thanksgiving to Rabbeinu Shalom, it's Havei L'Shavar. It's for something that has taken place in the past to you. You thank him because, you know, thank God, Rabbeinu Shalom, you spared my life until now, right? Al Ha'inam Tzum Yodecha, Yalmish Vaseinu, you gave us the Neshama, and so on and so forth, okay. And for this reason, Tiknu Ba'al Anisim. This is the reason why they put Alanism in Hodor, the head of the Shavar, because Alanism refers to miracles that happened when? In the past, not in the future. So therefore it is fitting to go in over there. Okay. This is another one. Over there, Yudalad, now he says, and therefore, at the night of the 14th of Adar, right? The Achat Philos Myrid, what do you say after you've already said Shemoneh Esrei Myrid? So he says, Omer Kaddish Shalem, then you have to say the whole Kaddish. V'yachakach Kuris HaMegillah, and then after that you read the Megillah. Omer Vorech Lefaneho Gimel Brochos, and you recite three blessings prior to the reading of the Megillah, you know. Asher Yishonu Al Mikra Megillah, right? The command of us concerning the reading of the Megillah, and then of course the second one is Shehosem Nisim Laviseinu, right? Just as we do in the Chanukah. And then, of course, the third one is Shechiyonah. Okay? So we recite those three prophets, the Achareha, and afterwards, that is after the reading, in the beginning, we recite Brocha Achas, one Brocha, Ad Hakel HaMoshiach. You have it in the Siddur, you know, thank God, you know, who has helped us in our distress and so on and so forth. We thank God who is God who saves us. Hishlim Omega Theateva, then, after he's finished it, and so then the person, you know, who is babbling for the Omer, he says, Omer Riyata Kodosh, right? So then he says, Riyata Kodosh, we ain't Matsunu Volatio. In other words, we start from the other Kodosh, we should be on this one. Okay. We ain't Matsunu Volatio. Lefi, why? She ain't Geula Balayla, because Geula is not going to come at night, Geula is going to come during the day. Okay? Should know. Okay.
You see that he'll come during the day.
He'll come during the day. But the Imotzei Shabbos, who, but if it is Motzei Shabbos, then Yom HaVehi Noam Kodesh. Then you have to say the Noam, you know, just as we do in general on Saturday night, that we say first the Noam, then we start in the upper Kodesh. Okay. Osherot Zanikros, now it says, and when he wants to read the Megillah, Poshetus Kula Kodem, so he has to spread out the whole thing, first of all, Ki'igeris. Like in the old way that they read a letter, okay? Abol lo golel de korei, but he doesn't roll it and read it. Kimo sefer Torah, like a sefer Torah. He doesn't roll it that way. Uve shachar, alright. I don't know if you ever noticed that when I or whoever is reading the beginning, we take the entire scroll and we fold it and fold it and fold it and fold it. And as we finish one folding section, we put that down and then we continue with the next folded section. So if we don't, you know, just roll it around like a Sefer Torah. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
the reason is you have to read it like a letter, not like
that's
a,
correct.
Like a, like a book.
Why? Because in the Megillah, what does it say? It says, as Igeris HaPurim HaZos, right? You know, Esther, Mordechai sent around that the Jews should read this letter containing the story of Purim, okay? Uveshachar, how about in the morning? So he says, Vispala Shmona Esra Brachos, first of all, Yavad Mishmon Esra, right? The Yomel Hanisim Boidon, you say Hanisim in Bodim. The Yain Omer, and he doesn't say, Yishayim Mithi Shekola Brocha Ein Ela Lishay Oba. And he says, you know, after all, we are dealing talking with something in the past, right? The Yin Kain, he says, he doesn't agree with that as being a reason, you know, that because it's in the past, that's why we do it. But we do it because we do it. We're celebrating a miracle. The Yin Kain, Ein Lomar Bo Dogo Shalahabo. Therefore, we should not have something in it, you know, for the future. In other words, we shouldn't say something to the effect, you know, that, okay, that just as you have redeemed us from a Haman, so may you continue to redeem us from all other people. That's not part of the Shmonesco. Okay, we don't say that in Ahanism, because it's thanks for the past. Okay. The Yachakach, and afterwards, what do you see? So he says, Emer Kaddish, Adda Mira Mioma. In other words, you say what do we call a half Kaddish, right? The Yoche Sefer Torah, and then you have to take out the Sefer Torah. Actually, he says, Yoches means you take hold of the Sefer Torah, but we understand what it means. The Koresh Shosha Gavre, the Pasha Vayomi Abadah. And he reads three Aliyahs, literally three men, but the three Aliyahs in the Pasha Vayomi Abadah, right? Which happens to be, of course, at the end of Parsha B'Shalach. Okay. Afal pi she'ein bo ela tes psukim. Even though it contains only nine verses. Now, normally, we have a rule that you cannot read less than ten psukim.
I thought it was three.
No, I'm talking about the total. You cannot read less than a total of ten psukim. Yeah. You're right, I mean, that a minimum contains three psukim. You have to have at least three psukim. You can't do it for two psukim or one psukim or anything like that. It has to have at least three psukim.
Right.
Okay. But this section has only 10 and 9 psukim. But nevertheless, we find that, you know, this is an exception. Of course, why is it an exception? The answer is because it deals with the Inyan of Purim, and it is, you know, the Amalek, remember, is the predecessor of Haman, okay? And this being a complete Inyan by itself, these nine psukim, so that therefore we don't have to add another pasuk or something in order to make it a complete
psukim.
Inyan
means
subject matter, right, yeah. It's a good Yiddish word too. All the good Yiddish words originally came from from Hebrew, at least the majority. There are a couple of other Yiddish words that are not nice. I mean, they come from different
languages.
Yeah, Mutchen is not Hebrew.
Right, that's Hebrew, right?
Not Hebrew, right. What's Machman Atzimis? Atzimis is also not a Hebrew word.
Wow, where did it come from?
Simis? Zimya means a subject matter. Level? No, Inyan by itself means actually, literally it meant a matter of interest. Because the verb, the anyen, the hip anyen, and so forth, meant that. So that an Inyan was a particular matter that people are interested in. This is the idea, okay? But we use it in Yiddish too, take it up. Yeah. Azayinian. Pashtenish Azayinian. Okay. Yeah. Right, okay. I'll tell you the truth. You know, I grew up, of course, you know, in America, okay? My parents, they spoke Yiddish, which was already becoming Americanized. You know, there is a word fenster, if you know, it's in Yiddish, but nevertheless, you know, a fenster becomes a minyan.
I still remember a song by Aaron Lebedev years and years ago when I went to the Yiddish theater and said, "A Yiddish Mabel, not a Yiddish and boy." A Yiddish and boy. So many Americanized, you know. But, you know, in Poland they added Polish words. In Russia they added Russian words. So sometimes if you don't know the Slavic languages, it's difficult to know what they're saying over there. You just have to try to put those out. Now, if you read Shalom Aleichem, you're going to come across certain words again that are very difficult to know what they are because they're not in our vocabulary anymore.
Oh, she doesn't read in English.
Right. Greg can tell you. Well, this we do not actually follow.
What it says?
What it says is that instead of returning the Sefer Torah to the Ark, you keep it, you hold it, and wait until after you've read the Megillah. But we don't follow this in Taisa. Not Taisa. So he said, we put back the Megillah first, we put back the Sefer Torah first, and then we read the Megillah. Okay.
Well, we actually...
So, I mean, you can
see... Well, we don't really actually complete the service, because we wait till Sefer Torah or after, right?
Yeah, of course, right. All right, I'll show you the work on the Kasher or something like that. Yeah, you know, and after he has read the beside the brachas for the Megillah, as they did in Biden. Get a finish with him, as we've already said before. Okay. The Achakach, and afterwards, Omer, Tehillah. After that, he says, what is Tehillah? Yeah, but actually what it means, Tehillah the David, which is what? What is Tehillah the David? It's Ashrei.
Ashrei.
What we call Ashrei, okay. Or Bolitzion, right? The Ein Omrim Mamnatzeach, but we do not say Mamnatzeach, we should have said Beit Zora, right? Because in Mamnatzeach we say Yad Chadishen, Beim Zora, right?
Should answer
the day of Zora. The Zora before him, Lobaskarin, we don't want to mention Zora simply. The Chain Ein Neufim Alpadehen. Right.
The happy occasion, you don't want to mention.
The happy occasion, right. Likewise, what we call Neifim Apadeim is what we call Tachnim. Because literally, people would fall on their face, you know, when they would recite.
Well, actually, that's what
once upon a time, people actually would prostrate themselves. That was even earlier, but, you know, at least we do symbolically, you know, that. All right. The Yud Dalad says what? We don't say it either on the 14th or on the 15th of Adar. Mishum Dixir. Because it's written that these are Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. These are days of feasting and rejoicing. Okay? The Omer, then he says, L'Avnatzeach L'Yeles HaShachar. Okay? Now, here, what he's saying over here is in reference to a custom that we find in the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon has a list of chapters of Tehillim that are recited on special occasions. Instead of reciting the Shir Shav Yom, they recite this. And I've been in Eretz Israel too, where if they follow the minhag of the Grah, as we say, the Grah means the Gaon Rabbeinu Eliyahu, right? So in that particular case, they say the special Sabbath and they do not recite the Shir Shav Yom. Others, on the other hand, recite both the Shir Shal Yom and also the special one. We're most familiar with it, of course, in reference to Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, right.
According to the Vilna Gaon, instead of saying the Shir Shal Yom on Rosh Chodesh, we should say Brochi Nafshi.
We do.
Right. We compromise.
Say,
we want to make everybody happy. So we say the Shir Shal Yom and Brochi Nafshi. And the same thing would be, let's say, on the Chanukah, where we add Bismah Shir Chanukah Sabayis to David. I mean, because, you know, the title of it, Chanukah Sabayis, already, you know,
so
has a reference to the rededication of Beis HaMikdash. This is a system based on the Vilna Gaon. Right. But maybe even earlier, because I don't know if you remember, towards the end of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we had the question as to what psalms they were reciting in the Beis HaMikdash, the Leviim were reciting over there, the question also, if they suddenly discovered that it was actually Rosh Hashanah that day, even though it had not been declared earlier, and so on and so forth, what do they have to do and so on. And there we see that there was a question about, for example, the second part of, Eidus Behosef Sabe, in other words, what we say tomorrow morning, the Thursday morning Sabe, some say that you can say the whole psalm, others say that you say only part of it, because after all, what do we find in the psalm? It's written Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, this is part of that psalm, so that therefore it's appropriate for Rosh Hashanah, and of course for Yom Kippur there is a psalm, happy is the person whose sin is covered over, sins, forgiven by the Rebbeinu Shalom. We have all kinds of chapters in Tehillim. There are 150 chapters in Tehillim, and they're very appropriate ones for different occasions during the year. So if we take the old-fashioned Tehillims that we have over there, you'll see in the back a listing for the various occasions. All right, I'll just finish
the old-fashioned ones, the ones that used today.
Let me finish this and I'll come back to you. At any rate, Tosfos adds over here, you notice it's in brackets, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
yep.
They should say it on the Tzechol Yeles HaShachar, which is Psalm 22, incidentally, okay? Because who is Yeles HaShachar? They say that Yeles HaShachar is a reference to Queen Esther. She is the morning star, okay? Because don't forget, even the name Esther itself, has a reference to it, to the morning star, it's originally from Persian name, Ishtar, Mishum Nesim Bei Matpolo. Why? Because in that psalm, also we find a reference to the downfall of the idolaters who make service for the Yidden, right? The Chaim B'Leil Arbo Asar, likewise, in the night of the 14th, The Chaim B'Leil Arbo Asar, says what he's saying is that it's also appropriate to say it Purim night as well, to say this particular psalm. Although we don't do it, but he says it's appropriate to do it, The Omer. Now, so getting back to the morning service, says, and also after that he says, Pitam HaKtoiris, V'chol HaTzedek Emo V'chol. In this respect, I have to tell you, we do not say Pitam HaKtoiris. But I have to tell you, in Nusach Sfar, Nusach Hari, etc., there the custom is to say it. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, even the Ashkenazim, they add Pitam HaKtoiris, not just on Purim, but every day. Yes, every day. They say Pitam HaKtoiris the second time. They say Pitam HaKtoiris first in the morning, right? In the morning they say it, with Karbonis and so on and so forth. But afterwards, after they are Nusach, there is if you have Nusach Ashkenaz, you finish Oleinu, and then you say Pitam HaKtoiris after that, and it's followed by Kaddish Rabbonis.
They say Enkeleinu also.
Yeah, right, you start with Enkeleinu, Whereas, if you daven Nusach Sfar, the Nusach Hari, or something like that, so first they say the Shir Shayom, and Pitam HaKtoiris, and then after that, then, they conclude the service with Oleinu.
Yeah.
These are part of the differences in the Nusach that we have over there. So obviously, Tosfos, whoever did this part of Tosfos, is following a custom which is more like the Sephardic. But in other places we see that Tosfos follows the Ashkenazic custom. Particularly at the beginning of Brachas, the very first day, at the very first page, you see in reference to the question about saying Baruch Hashem Le'ilam Ben Yomeinu Einedo, etc. Where Tosfos says that we do say it. But as you know, others do not say it. So it's a difference of opinion. They followed the Nusach which did it, and others had the Nusach where they don't. At any rate, I felt it was very important for us to make up acquainted with Rashi and Tosfos tonight, and then next week in the Yom Hashem we'll continue with the Tosfos. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, tonight is the 20th of June of the year 2001. We are currently Maseches Megillah, Daf Dalet or the Dalet. Okay? And we're going to continue now from where we left off last week. Last week, we devoted practically the entire shiur to... Yes. We discussed one text about Noshim Chayovos, about the obligation of women as far as Purim is concerned, and we spent a great deal of time with the Rashi and with Tosfos. So today we're going back to text again. Now, we continue with a series of statements made by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who is the author of, I guess it started about a page and a half back and continues for another couple of paragraphs before, and as I told you, here, primarily most of the statements are germane to the celebration of Purim. But occasionally, you know, we find that statements are made. The same author makes the very same. I passed out some of them. We're on Dalet, on the Dalet. What happened? We need more Dalet?
You're just on the wrong page.
No. Never say that. People make mistakes. Shteik Hashem and Kilachol Ha'ab Bishgoga. We read it this past week. Which means that everybody makes mistakes, right? And that's why the Rebbeinu Shalom says, the Nisachach Allah Vatzba Yisrael, you know. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives a chance to all of us, you know, to be forgiven for the sins of that we make. I mean, we're human beings, we make mistakes. Even yeah. Not even knowing when is the right place. Okay, right. Now you got it right. Which means that a fool who is silent will be considered wise. Okay. Not so common. Okay. Of course, I don't have to tell you, you know, that there are times when silence is a great virtue. Right.
Fine.
Okay. Like, for example, we shouldn't interrupt in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And if the rabbi is talking, it's not nice also to interrupt. Especially with conversation. You know. To interrupt with a shayla, with a question or something like that, doesn't make it, after all, you want to learn. But stop in the Melterai just to schmooze with somebody, you know, at the time when the rabbi is talking, it's not exactly polite.
Proper.
Okay. All right. So, the statement now is, I'll tell you where we are. Okay. We are approximately, You will see, you see a little word in the margin, Shom?
Yeah.
Shom.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now go down from over there. Given so really encouraged by the Lord, Mika Megillah, Rashi, and Yerbos HaNes. Okay. And now we continue to that point over there. Okay? The Yom Rav Yeshua ben Levi.
Right.
Okay. It says, Purim Shechol Yosh B'Shabbos Sho'alim V'Doshim In Yonu Shechyom. Okay. Now, this requires an explanation on our part. What he's saying is that if Purim happens to occur on Shabbos, then in that particular case, what we have to do is to discuss the various halachas concerning Purim, and of course, it would also include, for example, various midrashim relating to the story of Esther, the Megillas Esther. Okay? This is what he says we have to do on Shabbos. Of course, the question is, when does Purim ever occur on Shabbos? In our calendar,
no.
It will never occur, but as I pointed out to you again and again, if we have, for example, Purim Erev Shabbos, then in that particular case, Yerushalayim is going to have to observe Purim on Shabbos. And that presents all kinds of problems. One problem that we already had in reference to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is going to be repeated again, namely what? Not allowed to read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why not? We learned the same thing concerning we're not allowed to wave the lulav on the first day on Shabbos Sukkot, and we're also not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it's on Shabbos, right? Because the answer is, you know, that he may decide that he doesn't know how to do it properly, so he'll go and he'll carry it in the street in order to ask Shiloh, you know, from a chacham to teach him, you know, how to do it. And this is not allowed to do because the business of carrying on Shabbos is prohibited. Ah, you'll say, well, how about the fact that there are areas which have an Erev around them? But on the other hand, there are plenty of areas which do not have an Erev around them. And therefore, we always have the possibility of what we call a Gezerah Shema, which means you make a decree so that people should not get the wrong impression. The people say that in Yerushalayim you can read the Megillah on Shabbos, then they say, so why can't we read the Megillah on Shabbos? So, or let's say Lulav on Shabbos, which is certainly this happens every year. You can't have a Sukkot holiday without at least one Shabbos as part of the festival, right? So, therefore, there is a prohibition against doing it. Okay, as we'll see, this prohibition is given in the name of Rabbah, one of the great teachers who lived in Babel. Okay. Yes. Absolutely correct. Absolutely right. We do not. Okay.
So how does that affect
the No. They're two separate mitzvahs.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. Sitting in the sukkah is 7 days, right. But the lulav, we do not wave the lulav on Shabbos. We don't take it. The only thing that we learned in Gemara and Rosh Hashanah also that in the days, you know, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, since in the Beis HaMikdash itself, there they did make the bracha on the lulav and the esrog on Shabbos, if it was the first day of Yontif, not during Chol HaMoed, if Shabbos should occur, but on the first day of Yontif, that was Shabbos. Then they did do it in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai wanted to continue as much as possible the importance of his Sanhedrin in the Academy of Yavne, to give it, you know, sort of a quasi-legal importance corresponding to what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore he said that in a place where you have a Hevarir, and you have a Sanhedrin over there, so then it would be permitted to do so. But it doesn't apply to us. We don't do it. Just as we don't blow shofar. He also wanted to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The same reason. Okay? Alright. So, getting back to Purim then. If Purim occurs on Shabbos, since you're not allowed to read the Megillah, but the question is, how do you observe it? As I say, in Yerushalayim, this is an actual problem. So the answer is, over here, first of all, shol in the Dorshin. In other words, you study the various laws pertaining to Purim on this day. And then I'll tell you that in Yerushalayim also, since they cannot read Megillas Esther on that day, of course, when did they read it? They read it, of course, the same as the rest of the world. In other words, this would be Erev Shabbos, which would be the 14th rather than the 15th of the month of Adar. Okay? And so what do they read in the synagogue? Now the answer is that they read by Yovei Amalek. They read it.
Yeah.
Or they read Zachor, right?
Oh, yeah.
They read Zachor. Okay. Pasha Zachor, you know, in other words, they read it on that day, and then, you know, they'll say the Haftorah for Pasha Zachor on that Shabbos. Even though we have always observed it when prior to Purim. Yeah.
So they're in March or whatever, they're not in sync with the rest of the world.
In that particular case, they're not, right. But the Sedra that is read, of course, is in sync. When is the Sedra not in sync in Eretz Israel as compared to the rest of the world? And the answer is that happens sometimes depending upon when Yom Tovim, like Pesach or Shavuot, occur. Why? Because if, let's say, Pesach is on Shabbos, okay? Then it means that the seventh day of Yontif is Friday. You understand? So in Eretz Yisrael, they do not have an eighth day of Pesach. So they resume the regular Torah reading that particular day, which to us is the eighth day of Pesach, which of course by us has its own special meaning because we read a Yontif, you know, a special Yontif Kfir. So then it means that Eretz Yisrael is going to be really, they depend upon two different factors, okay? One is the fact is the year that we are in, is it a, what we would call a Shanah Pshuta, in other words, an ordinary year, or is it Shanah Mu'uberet? Is it a leap year? In a leap year, obviously, there are more Shabbosim. So in that case, in a leap year, we normally do not read two parshas together. That's in order to space them so that, so that by the time Rosh Hashanah comes, you know, you have done, you know, what we've had to do. Okay. However, that's not the whole story, because there's the other factor that I mentioned, namely whether a Yontif occurs on a Shabbos or not. I gave you the example of Pesach, okay? So, with Pesach, as we see, then it means that Eretz Yisrael is going to be 1 week ahead of the Galut as far as the reading is concerned. However, we come to the problem that we have to always have Parsha Devarim prior to Tisha B'Av. Okay? Parsha Devarim has to be prior to Tisha B'Av. So that being the case, it means that whereas we are, for example, doubling Matos and Matzeh in order to be able to get in the 3 weeks, you know, Pinchas, Matos, Matzeh, and Devarim. These are the three Shabbos normally according to our calendar, okay? In Eretz Yisrael, they have that rare business at times that they read Matos separate and Matzeh separate. So that way, Pinchas would be prior to the 3 weeks, prior to Shavuot and Matanos, and then Matos and Matzeh are read separately, and then you have. So by the time that we reach Tisha B'Av, we're all on the same beat, okay? We also have a somewhat different problem. Sometimes, as I said, it may be Matos and Matzeh. Sometimes the question is whether to double Hukkah symbolic or not, or to read them separately. That would, to a certain extent, depend upon Shavuos, because when Shavuos occurs on Shabbos, then obviously we're going to have to double it. If Shavuos is not on Shabbos, then in that case we probably are going to read Hukkah symbolic separate from each other, as we will this year, even though this year is not a leap year. Okay? There is one more factor as far as double sedras are concerned, and that is in reference to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, neither of them are on Shabbos, then in that case we're going to find that Nitzavim and Vayelech are read separately. Okay? But if one of the Yom Tovim is a Shabbos, then in that particular case, we're going to find that the Tzav Mayelach have to be read together. Okay? So, in other words, because in any case, Mayelach is normally going to be Shabbat Shuvah. Say normally, okay? But the question is whether you're going to read it as the Tzav Mayelach or not, but that depends upon when Rosh Hashanah occurs, what day, or what day Yom Kippur occurs. Okay, so that's the story with double sedras, okay? In such a case, even the Eretz Yisrael, incidentally, they would have to read the two together if either Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, okay? Alright, so now getting back over here. Alright, so he says then that if Purim happens to occur on Shabbos, then in that particular case you have to talk Sholem the Dorshim in Yuno Shalyom, right? In other words, you have to have drushes concerning teachings concerning the Yontif itself, the Mishnayos, the Drushim, and so on and so forth that follow over there. Okay. We'll get back to the problem at a later period, not tonight, but whether in the next week or two, to the problem again about Purim occurring on Shabbos, and what do you have to do in that case, okay? Because we're not exactly finished with it as yet. Okay. But at this particular point, they ask a different question. They say, "My Arya Purim, why do you make, why do you mention specifically Purim? Afila Yontav Nami, Yontav also has the same rule of what? The Tanya we have learned. Moshe Tikein Lahem Yisrael, Moses made an enactment for the people of Israel, Sheyehu Sholem V'Doshim Yinyonu Shalyon, that they should ask questions and they should, you know, give drushes and so on, pertaining to the subject matter of the particular day that they were discussing. Of course, we're talking about, in this particular case, festive days. But in Yod HaShoyim, or in Yod HaShoyim, would apply normally on the Shabbos as well. In what way? But for example, you know, usually a drasha is related to what? It's related to the Torah reading, okay? So this is also a form of the Yod HaShoyim. But specifically over here, they're talking about the Yom Tovim. Hilchos Pesach bePesach. In other words, on Pesach, you have to study various laws pertaining to how do we observe Pesach, right? Hilchos Atzeres baAtzeres. And on Shavuos, we have to learn the various laws pertaining to Shavuos. The Hilchos Chag bChag, and the various laws pertaining to Sukkot on the Sukkot festival. You know, it's incidentally that Purim, that Shavuos is referred to in the Gemara or in the Mishnah as well, usually by the word Atzeres. Okay? Of course, when we hear the word Atzeres, we think immediately of Shmini Atzeres. Right. But in the Gemara, Atzeres is used primarily by itself. Naturally, if they were talking about Shmini Atzeres, they would always say Shmini Atzeres. Okay? But if you see just the word Atzeres itself, then in that particular case, it refers normally to Shavuos. Yes. And Chag, just one second. Chag, which means holiday in general, but nevertheless, this is particularly the term which is used for Sukkot itself. Why? Because if you will take a look in the Torah, we'll see that the ruling which says, "V'samachto bechagecha," you shall rejoice in the festival, is really in the paragraph which, in which the description of Sukkot occurs. Okay, so, sorry.
Atzeres means what exactly?
Atzeres? That's a good question. What does it mean? It's a very good question. Today, in modern Hebrew, they use the word Atzeres in the sense that this is a time for a public gathering. Okay? And of course, there is a good basis for that if you consider Shmini Atzeres in that way. Okay, it's a time when people gather together in order to celebrate the conclusion of the Sukkot festival. Okay?
So it's like the 80th day of gathering.
Right. So the question is, so what is the relevance of Atzeres to Shavuos? This is the question.
Yeah.
So the answer has to be that it's related to the fact that Pesach began the special period wherein the people of Israel achieved freedom, and wherein also we began the counting of the Omer, right? And then Shavuos marks the conclusion of that particular period of time, and therefore that's the reason why they called it Atzeres. It's as good a reason as any. The Hebrew word Atzar in Hebrew today means to stop something.
Or to arrest,
exactly. Because
Arrest,
yes.
Arrest.
I'll tell you, I mean, in French, the word arrêté means to stop, and also means to arrest. So that's what meaning. You know, so, So it means, you know, to prevent something, to stop something, whatever it may be. The word itself, by the way, is in the Chumash itself. The Tzar was taken in to Avimelech. So the Lady Shalom, you know, told Abimelech, don't you dare chepa her, right? Don't touch her. And there's a special warning that says the Lady Shalom, a tsar a tsar called Rechem Aves Abimelech, that he put a stop, so to speak, or a halt to every womb in the household of Abimelech. In other words, his wives, his concubines, etc., you know, none of them could be pregnant until Sarah was restored to Abraham. Okay. So, as I say, there we are. You know, we have that, and there Sarah complains to not Sarah, but Rachel, if you remember. She complained to Yaakov also, you know, that Tzara Tzavani Hashem Beledes, that the Rebbeinu Shalom has prevented me, you know, from having a child, and so on and so forth. So, you know, this is why, you know, we have, you know, she prayed, and of course, eventually she was blessed with Yosef himself. So, the root, as I say, goes back right to the Chumash, right to the Torah itself, okay? But this is what it implies today about the Hebrew. All right, to continue. All right, so why do they raise the question? Question is always used. I mean, we always refer to, you know, Shon Doshim, Yonei Shel Yom, in reference to the pilgrimage festivals. Or we extend it also to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The idea is not only on the festival itself to devote, you know, the theme of the day to discussion of what it represents, but even the time prior to it that we have to prepare ourselves by also reviewing the various halachas, the various dinim, and so on and so forth, you know, that we have to make use of when the festival itself comes. As a matter of fact, because Pesach is considered so complicated as far as you know, chametz in Pesach, and how do you fulfill all the various things that we required, you know, the Pesach, the Matzah, the Moror, and in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, the whole idea, you know, that you had to bring the Korban Pesach, as well as bringing the festival, the Zvochim, and so on, the Shlomim, you know, that you had to bring to the Beis HaMikdosh, because when they came on a pilgrimage, they didn't come empty-handed. It's written, Boyer Panay Rekom, you are not to appear before me with empty hands, you know, you have to come and bring sacrifices. So that being the case, you know, there are a lot of things to learn. So therefore it says that Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach, they already show and dorsh in the Hilchos for you. Okay? So as we see, you have to have it. Alright, now let's say Shuas doesn't require that much time before. It's only a 1 day festival in Eretz Israel, or 2 days in Payos, you know. Sukkot certainly requires time, but also for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know. So it's the general rule that you have to begin to prepare for the festivals even beforehand by studying to know what it is that you have to do on the festivals. Okay, so the question is then, why did they single out Purim, for example? Where does it say over here that for Hanukkah you have to prepare that way? Even though, you know, Hanukkah, you have certain dinim that are involved also with Hanukkah. As for example, you know, the lighting of the candles, or in those days they lit lamps in reality, okay? And also, you know, the things, I mean, for example, yeah, right, how long they have to be burning, and whether, you know, right, exactly. I mean, you have these different things, right. There was no halacha that says that you have to have latkes on. That's a custom. That's not a halacha.
The oil.
Okay. So, all right. So we see, they asked the question then. So why Purim? So he says, Purim, it's the Rechelei. We need this special law concerning Purim. That you have to be Sholem Adorshin, right? Why? Mahu de tema. What if you should say Nigzo Mishum de Rabba? In other words, just because Rabba said that you're not allowed to carry a Megillah in the street, and therefore we're not allowed to read the Megillah, so we might think that therefore you can simply let the day go by without paying any special attention to it, right? So therefore
even though it is Shabbos, and you're not allowed to read the Megillah on that day, but nevertheless, learning the significance of Purim, that you still have to do on that particular day. So this was also a statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay. Now, another statement. Yeah, kamash balon. I left out those words. Kamash balon means, okay, so there, goes to show you, okay? Or, as a teacher of mine once said, kamash balon is like QED in the Gemara. Okay? QED. You know what QED? Yeah, right. Which was right. Therefore, we have made, we have demonstrated the point. Right? Which word? Oh, Kamash Malan, yeah. Yeah. It means, right. Yeah. Right. In Yiddish, we use it, we say, my Kamash Malan, what does it teach us, right? What do we learn from this, right? So, Kamash Malan, okay, so therefore, this is what we learn, okay? This is what we've taught. Okay. The other Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, another statement. Chayav Odim Nekrosis HaMegillah V'Laylo V'Nishnoisa V'Yoyim. A person is obligated to read the Megillah at night and Nishnoisa during the day. So the question is, what does Nishnoisa mean? Because, well, the root Shin Nun Hei, infinitive lishnos, okay, has two possible meanings. Okay, one of them is to do something a second time, to repeat, from the word sheni or shnayim, okay. Now this is one meaning. Another meaning of the word, however, lishnos, is related to the idea, what is Mishnah? It's learning. Mm. You understand? Mishnah is learning. Okay? So that, therefore, that's another meaning, by the way. If you take the same root and you put it into the PL, then it means something a little different. The Shanos then means, you know, to change something. Okay? And then when we read the Haggadah on Pesach, what do we say? Say Manishtana, which means, why is it so different, right? The word shona in Hebrew can mean to be different. So there are all kinds of meanings that the same root can have, the same word can have, but it depends, what is the context. Now here, as we'll see, the struggle is, does it mean to do it a second time, or does it mean simply to learn it? So this is what they're asking the question over here. Because he says that they have to read it at night, right? And then, lishnoisa, right?
Yom.
Bayom, in the daytime. And first of all, they quote the pasuk, the one that we had before in Taismas that you heard on the recording from last week, if you were not busy talking at the time. Okay. The pasuk comes from Tillim, 22nd chapter, okay? Elohai, it says, oh my God, Ekra Yomom. Now, Ekra in Hebrew means literally over here, I cry out, okay? But I don't have to tell you that the word Ekra might possibly be interpreted as what? I read. And you have two meanings again to this verb, right? Either it means to call or to cry out, or it means to read. Of course, what David HaMelech is saying is, I cry out by day, Velo sana, and you do not answer me. Velaila, and at night. Velo dumioli, and I do not have literally any silence. In other words, I cannot find consolation or something like that. The beginning of this particular psalm, after the subscription, you know, where they say, that this Ayelatzecha Yeles Hashachar, the David, this is, dedicated to the Ayelas HaShachar, literally the morning star, the Psalm of David, okay? And our sages interpret who is the morning star. We mentioned it last week when we did the Tosfos, that this is a reference to Queen Esther, right? And then the next verse begins with famous words, But people used to know Mamaloshan, always remember, begins Eli, Eli, Lama Azavtani, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Okay, yeah, this is what it means, okay. Yeah, of course, we grew up with Eli, Eli, Lama Azavtani, right? So, yeah, right, of course, he made it famous, right, absolutely, right. Right. Yes. Right. So, as we see, David HaMelech, you know, is very melancholy at this particular this particular moment in the psalm, until he comes and he says, "Ve'ato Kodosh Yoshev Tihot Yisrael," but you are the Holy One dwelling among the praises of Israel. So, and then, you know, then he gets his courage back because of his faith in God. All right, but since it is, as I said, a reference to Esther, so it's appropriate to Purim, according to the sage who quotes this one, right? And he interprets, Ekro Yomam, I read in the daytime, right? But it's not enough, the Lila. And also, I have to read it, what, at night. So, the question is now, okay, if you take this particular pasuk, then what did the Tana who made the statement have in mind? So he says, Sovor Minov, he had in mind from this, the Mikre Balaila, that at night you should read the Megillah, well, amiss no mastisin didor be a mother. And then in the daytime, you discuss the various dinim and halachas and midrashim and so on and so forth. But this particular Tana did not have a mind to do what? To read the Megillah in the daytime. You understand? So that's immediately challenged. So Amaluhu, Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, you know, to the people who heard this interpretation, he said, no, you're wrong, he says. He says, the DD, as far as I'm concerned, Nifresh Oli Minei, I interpreted differently to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, in the way that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba interpreted it, Kigon, and it's in the fashion that Amre Yinshe, people say, Evor Parshos Ador, I'm going to review this Parsha, the Esther, and then I'll go over it a second time to review it in order to learn it better. So that, therefore, according to this interpretation, then what does it mean? It means that we have to read it during the day. That's what Lishlesa means. It means to repeat it by day. Not just, you know, to go, let's say, to study Mishnah during the day. Mishnah, let's say, that deals with Purim or something like that. Maseches Megillah or something like that. It means, actually, that they have to read the Megillah once more by day. Okay. And, okay.
They're doing it so
yeah. Yeah.
To get back to their wish.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Well, it's probably related to the idea of a second way.
Okay.
Because there is this idea, as I say, in there, right? That what is different is also a second way of doing things, right? Yeah. So here it means repeat.
You don't use the same truck. I don't understand what you're saying.
No. She is talking etymology.
No.
Okay, all right.
There's a word Shabbat, though, which is here.
That's correct.
Is that the same root?
Yeah, I guess you could say it's from the same root. Right. Why? Because every year is different from the other one. There's a cycle of years, okay? Right. So, you know, if you want to go into it, so you can try to find the justification, you know, for all these different things, okay? I'm sure that there is some sort of a connection. The Hebrew language didn't evolve simply accidentally. There was a reason for some of these things. Okay. So, at any rate, as we see then, that Rabbi Yirmiyah, like the interpretation of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, that, you know, that over here, Nishnesa means that they have to repeat it again. Itmoname, we've learned a similar statement. Omer Rabbi Chelba, the Rabbi Chelba said, Omer Ulo, in the name of Ulo Biro, who came from a place by the name of Bira, he says, Chayav Adam Nikos HaMegillah B'Lailush Deisha B'Yoy. A person is obligated to read the Megillah at night and to repeat it by day. However, the pasuk that he cites is not the same pasuk that we had before. Not from chapter 22, but instead this comes from chapter Labit, one that we say every day. Shenemar, as it is written, this is of course the end of Tilim, Mizmer Lamed, it says, Laman Zamecha Chovel Yidom and Hashem Lekanim Medakom. In order that my soul, this is what Kavod means over here in this case, in order that my soul might praise you, right, and not be silent, right? Shem Elokai, Lord my God, La'olam Adek, I will always praise you. Meaning, therefore, that I will sing your praises when? At night, nor will I be silent, right? Therefore, in the morning, again, or during the day, we will again read the Megillah again. I've heard the argument as to which is the more important reading. Naturally, to the average person, what is the more important reading?
Right,
the one
night.
At night, right? But there are those who say that in reality, the night is, we read at night in preparation for the reading during the day, so we should not neglect the reading during the day. The truth is that the din is we have to read it both night and day. That's all there is to it. And why at night, we make all the Taharam and we don't do the same thing during the day? Well, there may be different reasons. Chances are because people go to work during the day. But they should really take time off and try to celebrate as a holiday if they possibly can.
The obligation is to hear it if you hear it at night.
You still have to hear it during the day.
You're still supposed to hear it.
Yeah, sure. We read the Megillah here again in the morning. There are women who come to the reading of the Megillah at that time, too. Or they have separate Megillah readings, because you can read it any time during the daytime. So it's not confined, just, let's say, to the first hours of the morning. It could be read any time during the day, okay? So, in that particular case, you have minyanim, or you have celebrations, or whatever it may be, at which point we read the Megillah. All right. So now that we've finished that particular sugya, believe it or not, you know what they're coming back to again? They're coming back again to the very first Mishnah that we had, where they were figuring out, what days is it possible for the Megillah to be read, and what is the difference between people who live in villages, people who live in the average city, town, whatever it may be, and people who live in Mukofas Chaimah, cities which are surrounded by a wall. Okay. So a lot of the stuff, obviously, we're going to find we've already had it in one way or another. But, they like to analyze to the nth degree the wording of the Mishnah. And this is what they're going to begin to do at this particular point. After they get finished with this, then we'll have other things that we'll be learning, but not tonight. Okay. All right. So let's continue. All right. The Mishnah says, if you remember, that we're not talking now about cities which are surrounded by a wall. That will leave for another discussion, okay? But they say, I want to discuss at this particular point again what we said, namely, that you have ayoros, the average towns, right? And then you have kfarim, villages. And we said that the villages have the opportunity to read earlier than the people in the towns. In what way? So he said, if you remember, that it depends upon when is the Yom HaKnisa, when is the day upon which people gather into the town in order to do shopping, in order to have a fest, and so on. And we said, the Yom HaKnisa is either Monday or it's Thursday, Montag and Donish, those are 2 days, the special times in the Jewish calendar, okay? So, therefore, we learned, that let's say people in the village, let's say that Purim, occurs on Tuesday, okay? So, Tuesday would, of course, be the 14th. So when can the people in the villages come in to read? So we said they can have a special meeting for them in the town, but not on the 14th, but on the 13th, because that would be the Yom HaKnesa, so that's the day that they come in. All right. And the question is, why so? So this is what they come back to. And it's going to sound familiar, as I said, because we've already discussed many of these ideas before. But they want to analyze it to the nth degree. So, Omer Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Hanina said as follows, he says, Chachomim hekilu al hakporim liyos mo'itim nim hakdisa. He says, in reality, it was the sages who made it easier for people who lived in the villages in that they could read the Megillah on an earlier date if it was the Yom HaKnesa. Okay? Why? So he gives a reason, because the Mishnah did not give a reason for it. Simply said that they can do it, and it gives us a list of days, right? But here they give the reason. The reason is, Kadesh Yisab Kumayim Mimozim Lachim Shevakrachim. The reason being, so that the people in the villages would be able to supply water and food to their brethren who live in the cities, in the big cities. Okay? So the Gemara, we have to pass out the next sheet. It begins with the words, the Memra. You got it over there, the Memra? Okay, very good. Okay, so this is Dalit of it base at this point.
Number
8? Yeah, it says number 8 on top. Right, that's it. Yeah. This is already the next stuff. That's hay. They have it down there over there. Yeah, they have it down there. Yeah. Yeah. Would you pass it back this way too? There are people here without it. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is already the next one. This is Dafe. They have it, right. Yeah, these are the old ones. Okay. All right. So now the Gemara continues, and it says, Lameba, is this to say, the Takanta de Krakim Hede, that this was for the benefit of the people who were living in the big cities, that the people from the village come, because why are they coming? They're coming in order to supply them with water and food, right? The Hotnan, but haven't we learned a Mishnah which says, Chalios Bisheni, if, let's say, the Purim day, in other words, the 14th of Adar, right, occurs on the second day of the week, in other words, on Monday, right? Then in that particular case, we said, according to the Mishnah, Kforim Vayoros Gedolos Korim Bo Bayom, both the villages and also the larger towns, they read the Megillah on that particular day. So now the Gemara asks the following question. It says, and if we are to say that the people who live in the villages are to read the Megillah earlier on an assembly day, in other words, in this case, on a Monday, I don't mean on a Monday, I mean on the previous Thursday, right? Then in that particular case, what are we going to find? Then we're going to find, let's skip something. My eye ran down the page or something. Okay. Yeah, if it occurred on Monday, then we read, then the towns are going to be reading on Monday, right? But if we say that the people, who live in the village have to read earlier, why? In order to bring in food and stuff like that. So, Havanuhu, Atzoret, then you know what? If the previous Thursday you say that they should be reading, then the Thursday is what? It's the 10th day of the month of Adar. If you count back and see, that'll be the 10th day. And the sages never said that you're allowed to read the Megillah on the 10th day of Adar. So Tashma, so how are we going to resolve that? So the question is, what do you mean that they had permission to read earlier? You understand? So it says, Chalios Bachamishi. All right. let's say that the Yom HaKniso, excuse me, let's say that the 14th of Adar, the day when everybody is reading the Megillah, is on a Thursday, right? So, Kfarim Vayoros Gedolos Korim Bo Bayom. This is what the Mishnah says, that people in the villages and in the towns, right, the large towns, they read on that day, in other words, on the 14th of Adar, which would be Thursday in that case, the Yemisa, the Kadma, the Yom HaKniso, okay? And if we say that the people in the villages can read earlier, namely on the Yom HaKniso, now that would be the preceding Monday, the Achad Asarhu, which would happen to be the 11th of Adar, right? So that we said in the Mishnah, what? That the 11th, Yud Aleph, is one of the possible dates, right? You remember the Mishnah that started, it said Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, etc., etc., okay? Can we consider that possibility? That if Purim occurs on Thursday, so they should have a special reading on the Monday preceding, even though it is the 11th? So they say, no, sir, says. Why? He says, Miyom HaKnisa Liyom HaKnisa Lo Dachinim. We do not push aside one Yom HaKnisa because of the other. In other words, we're not to neglect the fact that the